This is absolutely incrinculent. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. Many things. Doran. I love that Doran really speaks the truth on Cooper Kupp. That people want to put little Cooper, well, they want to put him in a cup. They want to put him in a little cup limits. He's like, he's a little slot receiver. Like he's, you know, Harry Douglas from his days with the Atlanta Falcons.
He was a good player.
He was a very good player, but he wasn't Cooper Kupp. Like, they want to make him into a guy who just, you know, leaves the huddle, walks over to one little spot in the slot, and that's it.
That's where he belongs.
Just throw him there. And Artie Smith has no history of, at least I don't think the advanced numbers show, of utilizing guys in that kind of way in the slot or inside. Well, guess what? He probably never had Cooper Kupp. In fact, I know he didn't. Doran just said, and we went over this yesterday, the dude runs every kind of route imaginable. And now, suddenly, and I told everybody, and I hope they all did their homework assignment, and I told you to do your homework assignment, which was Google Cooper Kupp routes Lions, and you get all 21 of his targets from the season opener against Detroit, where he had 14 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. Could have had even more. That's all you need to see to answer any questions you have. Is he just a slot guy? God, no. Doran just told us every single route this guy runs, outside, inside, he pick a player on the Steelers, Cooper Kupp runs that kind of route. The only thing he might not be is, you know, the George Pickens 50-50 incredible acrobatic catch guy. That's why they have George Pickens, last I checked, limits. You'll see every one of those routes. And if you have questions about can he still play at 31, yes. And now suddenly, this game tonight takes on added intrigue, does it not? I mean, I'm going to be riveted to Pitt, and we're going to get to that in one moment here. But this Rams-Vikings game, we're going to be watching this like, how does Cooper Kupp look? Are we not? And how are you, Limits? It's wonderful to see you again.
I'm doing very well, Joe. It's wonderful to see you, too.
I see you more than my wife. I'm serious about that.
Yeah, I see you probably more than I see members of my family. And
how about Muffin the dog? Who do you see more, me or Muffin?
I see Muffin probably more, yeah.
Yeah. You should take me for a walk once in a while.
You think so? Yeah. Would you like me to put a leash on you? Sometimes we need to already.
We might need to.
We gotta rule you in.
I'm going to have the double TV. When does the World Series start? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes.
Do I care or don't I? I haven't answered that question for myself yet. Come on, it's Aaron Judge and Ohtani. I hate baseball's economic system, and it ticks me off, kind of, that it's Yankees-Dodgers. But am I willing to set that aside and, like, out of bitterness, not watch Ohtani and Aaron Judge? No, I'm going to watch Ohtani and Aaron Judge, but that's beside the point. That's tomorrow night. I'm going to have the double TVs going. Oh, limitless wonder. One is going to be on Cooper Kupp, and one is going to be on Pitt Syracuse. We need to talk more about this. And by the way, we have Brian Batko coming up to answer a question that's been hounding us all week, and that is whether Mike Tomlin, and I'm sorry to bring this up again, but we have to because Brian Batko went the extra mile here, whether Mike Tomlin was reprimanding Ray Fittipaldo for having an attitude or whether Tomlin said the word latitude. I thought we had buried this for good yesterday, didn't you, Limits?
I think it is buried.
No, it's not. That's the whole point. It's not buried. I texted you yesterday and said that Batko, in the locker room, approached Mike Tomlin about this.
There's more information that has been found,
yes.
But I think it kind of...
Well, you're saying this will bury it.
This will bury it, yeah.
I'm not sure it will. I mean, this is an unbelievable move. People don't talk to Mike Tomlin in the locker room. That just doesn't happen normally. Might be a very quick little piece of banter. But you'll see Tomlin from time to time. When I used to go in the Steelers locker room, he'll make the rounds after practice. He'll bust guys' chops. He'll inquire how they feel, that type of thing. Goes from locker to locker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes a reporter will say something and Tomlin will have something funny back. He's funny, fun that way. But Batko approached him with this topic of all topics yesterday. He approached him with this.
Nice little icebreaker.
Batko's going to join us at 10:20 to tell us how this went down and what Tomlin's reaction was to this. Who would have thought that innocent little Ray Fittipaldo would become the center of a storm here? You didn't, Limits, did you?
No, not at all. But, I mean, considering that he's the one that ended up invoking the Browns as the Browns from Juju and
That
press conference, very noble, O'Brien.
You seem mildly depressed and somewhat robotic.
Not at all
somewhat robotic
depressed
today.
Or robotic
something's going
all.
On. Let's hear it. What are your feelings?
Nothing is happening.
There are days when you're on top of your game, when you're excited, when you're eager. This is not one of those days. You're mildly depressed and somewhat robotic.
What, are you a therapist for me? But, you know,
I might be here. Come take a spot on the couch. I have a notebook. I'll take down what's happening.
Is it a comfy couch?
No, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to invoke thoughts within you.
That's
emotions.
Why it should be a comfy couch.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if it's a comfy couch, you're going to relax and be
comfortable.
Well,
you can also fall asleep. You've got a lot going on, I know. I'll find out during the
Always.
Break. Something's happening. I've come to know you very well.
I will 100% be completely honest. There's nothing going on.
Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's the problem.
Let's talk about Pitt.
I'm going tonight.
Are you?
I am. I bought my tickets yesterday. You know,
okay. So
find a place to park.
I was going to say in a working capacity or as a fan. I would park here and take an Uber.
That will be more expensive than parking down there.
I'll pay for it.
You'll pay for my parking down there?
No, for your Uber. Think about it.
I'll think about
it. Okay. Pitt going for its first 7-0 start since 1982. Am I right about that, Limits?
That's correct.
Here's my question for you and for the populace. I think we all agree the last time people were truly excited about Pitt football was Kenny Pickett's year, 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And that the excitement took off for real when they beat Clemson. Even though that wasn't a great Clemson team, it was still a great Pitt win. It was on a national stage because of who Clemson was, all the years leading up to that game. And suddenly, we had a town that was excited legitimately about Pitt football. And this guy, Kenny Pickett, who had, been 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions for his whole career, basically, and suddenly was taking off and on his way, and I was just discussing this with Doran, on his way to a better season than Jason White had, when he beat out Larry Fitzgerald for the Heisman. I thought Jason White was terrific that year. Pickett had a better year, more touchdowns, more yards than Jason White. And Pickett almost won the Heisman. But people, that was legit. People were very excited about Pitt football. And frankly, those years have been few and far between. This year, they have a chance. They're not there yet. They haven't captured the town's attention. Tonight on national television would be a big step in that direction. Then you beat SMU. That's another large step. And I would argue that by the time Clemson comes here, of all teams, maybe as a top 5 team at that point, Pitt could be a top 12 team maybe by that point. Three games is a lot. What's Pitt, 19th?
Yes, and Syracuse is a good team. Like, this is a win that could catapult them up a couple spots.
Sure, and teams are going to lose over the next 3 weeks. Hopefully one of them is not Pitt. And by that time, we may have a very noteworthy national stage type game between Pitt and Clemson on November 16th. But this, tonight gives you a chance to sort of announce yourself. Hello, we're Pitt. Everybody watch us. This guy Eli Holstein's on pace for 30 touchdown passes. Watch him. Watch Mr. Reed in the backfield. I think one of the most electric performers in the country. So tonight I would say, is like a little dress rehearsal that you invite particular people to. Well, all of America in this case. But you know it's not going to be some kind of giant, ridiculous audience. But you have a chance to say, basically, hello, keep an eye on us. We're going to be back in about 3 weeks, and then you'll all be watching us. But my question is, for you out there at 412-928-9370, and for you little limits, not that you're little, but you're light. You're only 145 pounds.
And you love to bring that up.
I'm sorry. This what's it called? It's a grande cold brew vanilla cream. It's like somebody's put a spell over me. This stuff is unbelievable, limits.
This is a daily occurrence where you get hyped up on caffeine. Just wait until 12:30 hits.
Maybe this is the problem. Underneath, you feel like I've been focusing on your weight and you're angry at me. Is that the problem here? Go ahead. Say it. I can take anything.
Find it funny if that there's you're some to way to create a problem where there's no problem.
There is a problem.
That's how you create problems when you try to start a problem.
I'm very, very perceptive, and I know you. Something is happening here. Feel free at any time just to blurt it out, okay? You kind of just did with the 140 pounds.
If I knew what it was,
yeah,
I would tell you by now.
Okay.
But I don't know what you're alluding to.
Perhaps I'll hypnotize you and it'll come out. We could do that as the show moves along.
Sure, let's attempt that.
You know what would be fun is to call a hypnotist and have him or her hypnotize you ask you questions.
That O's the mentalist?
Yeah.
That guy that who's playing tricks on the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Did you see that video
no.
that came out not
Tell
that
me
long
that's,
ago?
What happened there?
So I guess they gave Joe Burrow a football, and he was predicting with like the entire team in the room who Joe Burrow would throw the football to and how he would throw the football. And one time he was like, all right, lucky guess. The next time it was a pass to like a backup wide receiver. And then the third one, Joe Burrow tried to trick the mentalist. He did a play fake to Ja'Marr Chase and tossed it to a receiver. And that's exactly what the mentalist wrote down would happen.
I want to see that story. Please send it along.
Yes, I will.
In the meantime, if you're watching us on YouTube, you're driving around, whatever your preferred form of catching this show is, like, what will it take for you to prioritize Pitt? You know what I mean? Let's be honest here. Pitt football, normally not a priority for the majority. That rhymed. But when they are good, or when they have a brilliant individual performer, as we talked about yesterday, then they start to capture the city's attention. So what will it take for you to prioritize Pitt? Like, I'm definitely in. This is a huge story. I want to go to a game. I want to watch this. All of that. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. And I know in the backs of all of our minds, limits, we're dreaming of a Pitt-Penn State playoff game, aren't we? Aren't you?
Of course. Well, that would absolutely...
Can you
imagine
that?
They're in the news right now, too. Right now, for a lot of stuff that happened yesterday. But that would be...
Yeah, I saw that.
Incredible.
It would be incredulent. Is what that would be, a Pitt-Penn State playoff. And right now, people like Pat Forty, at least last I checked, had Pitt in the playoff. So again, what does it take? What does it take for people out there? I'm not saying you should by now either. It's a legitimate, you know, question of curiosity for you to kind of get swept up in Pitt football. I think it takes a lot, quite frankly. That's been my experience over the years. But again, tonight, on a national stage against a decent Syracuse team, it's a chance to put on a show, to kind of announce yourself if you're Pitt. Like, hey, if you weren't aware yet, we're 7-0. Keep us at least in the back of your minds out there, because we may be back in 3 weeks with a game you will all be watching. Do you know what I mean, limits, by that?
Yeah, I mean, this is their first real chance in a standalone game. I mean, standalone games, we know how important those are to prove something.
Right.
In the national audience. Like, we saw it with Justin Fields. That could have been the game that proved and cemented himself against Dallas.
Exactly.
So this could be that case for Pitt, especially, don't look past SMU. They're ranked. They're like 20th in the country. That's going to be a tough game on the road in Dallas.
No doubt. That's going to be, if they win tonight, and it's a big if, because Syracuse is pretty good, and anytime you have a good quarterback, you can beat teams. You know
right.
what I mean? They've got a really good player at the most important position. I think it's going to be an entertaining, high-scoring game, and I think it'll draw more people toward Pitt. But they got to win. You got to win.
Really starts tonight.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the whole country's, that's a good way to phrase it, limits. The season in many ways starts tonight for Pitt. And, you know, even if they do win, I don't think the entire country is going to be riveted to Pitt-SMU next weekend. But Pitt-Clemson, if you get to that, with Clemson being a top five team, like, I think Pitt fans should be rooting for Clemson over the next couple weeks so that they can get there and make that the kind of game we all want it to be. 412-928-9370. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Our friend Brian Batko, any minute now, is going to be on the Fan hotline. Six-pack brought to you by Bet365. This has been an unbelievable story this week, as we hopefully will talk to some people out there about Pitt. City Limits will be at the game tonight. Say hello to City Limits. If you see him, you can't miss him. Just look for the guy who looks exactly like Ace Ventura from the first Ace Ventura movie. On Tuesday, at his news conference, Mike Tomlin got a question from Ray Fittipaldi about the Minka penalty the other night when it was a horrible call, and about why such things can't be reviewed and what the competition committee has to do with that. And Tomlin is on the competition committee. So Tomlin answered in the middle of the follow-up with Ray. Tomlin said something to the effect of, you took an attitude on that question. Or did he say you took some latitude with that question? And was it Tomlin referring back to himself that he had an attitude, or that he was taking latitude? There was mass confusion here. So before we get to Brian, who unbelievably approached Tomlin in the locker room yesterday to ask him about this, let's let everybody listen from the beginning, from the first question from Ray, just to recount this and then mercifully bury this topic after we talk to Batko.
In regards to Minka's block, why has the competition committee been resistant to maybe opening that up to replay review?
I don't know that the committee has, and as a member of the committee, I can confirm that we haven't been resisted. I don't know where you get that bit of information from.
Well, I mean, replay review overall. I know a couple years ago you had the pass interference that could be reviewed. That was a one-year experiment, but it just seems like
overall. So you just took a little attitude in terms of that question?
No, there's no doubt Tomlin just said, see, you took a little attitude with that question. Good-naturedly, he pointed out that Ray took a little attitude with that question. That's where I stand ultimately. That's my final say here. My final verdict. Limits, how about you? What's your final verdict here? He absolutely said that.
I think that...
And it's only noteworthy because it enables us to bust Ray's chops, number one, and because Ray is one of the three nicest men in Pittsburgh sports history. Tied, I would say, with Jerry DePaula. Are we going to talk to Jerry today?
11 o'clock.
And Marc-Andre Fleury. So it makes the whole thing sort of funny, right?
I think it's funny. I think...
What did he say?
I think Tomlin said attitude.
Yeah, he did. Because First of all, Tomlin got slightly irritated because he's on the competition committee. So the whole tenor of this conversation began to take shape when Tomlin said, and I'm on the competition committee, so I can say blah, blah, blah. Then Ray says, yeah, well, and I think that's then when Tomlin jumps in good-naturedly again and says, see, you took a little attitude with that question. Attitude. Again, incredibly, Brian Batko, who may now deserve the title, the mantle of the savvy old news hound, spotted Tomlin in the locker room making the rounds with his players yesterday, and of all the things to approach him about, approached him about this. Brian, you're now on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. I thought you were kidding when you texted me this yesterday. What prompted you to do this, and what did Tomlin say?
Well, what prompted me was just how we were talking about it on Tuesday in the studio, and we both jokingly said afterward, wouldn't it be funny if someone went to Tomlin for clarification on this? And yeah, like you said, he was in the locker room after practice, just finished talking to some of the offensive linemen, and I said, all right, I think I've got a window here. I think this is my shot. So, yeah, I asked him. I didn't explain the whole context of us trying to figure out what precise word he used, because that would have taken a lot of unpacking of the psyche of Joe Starkey and things we didn't have time for. But, yeah, after I sort of explained it to him, like, did you say latitude or attitude? At first he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, because it was such a throwaway.
Why are you wasting my time?
It was such a throwaway moment in a half-hour presser that we're dwelling on here. We really blew it up. We made it a two-second moment into now a three-day story. But yes, that's what we do. And yeah, once I did explain, like, oh, Ray's question about the review and such, then he smiled and laughed. He's like, and he said, and this could put it to rest forever, maybe. He said latitude.
Ooh. Nice drop there, Limits.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Straight
so
from the man's mouth.
Okay. Then it's over. They got it wrong on the transcript at the Steelers. Ray got it wrong. Everybody's, a lot of people wrong. You got it right, and I give you credit for that. So, Tomlin, does that end it then? Are you convinced this is it?
Well, here's the caveat to that.
No. No, please.
As he said that, then he did, like, sort of add, yeah, we weren't resistant to it. And he did go back to how they weren't resistant to it. So it almost seemed like he could have meant attitude.
No.
His official clarification was latitude.
Okay, then that's what I'm going with. When he says we resistant, he means the competition committee. We aren't resistant to enhancing replay to encompass more calls, right?
Yes, so he did take a little bit of umbrage with that notion.
Right.
I don't think he was accusing Ray of copping an attitude, or at least didn't use that word.
Copping is a great copping an attitude. That's the perfect phrase. Okay, so, and also no budding feud between Ray and Mike?
Oh, definitely not. No, he was, yeah, I mean, he smiled about it when I asked. It wasn't like, he wasn't angry or anything. This was not an on-the-record Tomlin interview. He generally doesn't do that on Wednesdays. But I did want to get to the bottom of this for the sake of the show.
I really appreciate that. And I know Limits does as well. You're an intrepid reporter. It's sort of unbelievable now that you've been at the center of three interesting Tomlin quotes. This one that you followed up on.
Ray was at the center of this one. But
well, yeah. But you became part of the story. There's no doubt about that. Also, I don't drive carts and things of that nature. Do we have that one? That was a Batgo question when Mason Rudolph got his face mask ripped off. We remember that. This was Batgo with Tomlin. You don't have that? No, we had that yesterday.
As a wee rookie beat reporter in 2019, my first season covering the Steelers.
And rumor has it that you also...
a little lad.
Yeah, little lad. Rumor has it you also prompted the legendary Juju... Browns is the Browns quote. Is that right?
That is true, yes. And the Browns remain the Browns 4 years later.
Mason's injury, he had to stand up and kind of walk off the way he did while the cart was out there?
Ask somebody that's in charge of that. I don't drive carts and things of that nature.
My God, is that a great quote? Why would you ask the head coach about the cart?
Who else was going to talk about it?
I don't know. The cart driver.
I don't get the cart driver's not available post game.
See how I piss off?
The head coach is the voice of the team. Why do we ask him about injuries? Why don't we ask the truth?
See how I can tick off even the nice guy's limits?
Yes, you do it to me every day.
I have a special talent for that.
And maybe Jerry DePaula at 11. If you make Jerry mad at 11, we're going to have a problem.
I've actually made Jerry mad before.
Boy.
So, Brian, what was the question that prompted the Browns is the Browns?
Well, that was the week of the wild card game against them, and that was still during the Zoom era, and I asked Juju, does this Browns team have a different vibe to them than the last times you've played them? And he said, no, I forget the exact verbatim quote, but, I mean, we all remember the kicker there. The Browns is the Browns.
I mean,
Myles Garrett got fired up He put it on his Instagram.
Oh, man.
Video. Yeah, I can't remember if that was before or after the game, but they, the whole city, the team, the players used that jujuism as a rallying cry.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could actually say that you lost the Steelers that playoff game if you wanted to stretch it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think if you kind of unfurl everything there, yeah, very accurate to say.
All right, Brian, before we let you go, what about this Cooper Kupp thing? How close an eye will you be keeping on him tonight? How realistic do you think this is?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic. I've been told the Steelers like him, but then again, I mean, who doesn't like him? He's Cooper Kupp. Who wouldn't like him? It's just about how much you like him and how much you're willing to give up and, you know, relative to the rest of the league, what's your worth on him. So I'll say the same thing I say about most receiver speculation with the Steelers. It wouldn't surprise me if they get this done, but there's 30 other teams who could be interested, so I wouldn't bet on it.
Brian, you're a wonderful man, and you're a hell of a reporter. Thank you for all your kindness.
You're no problem, Joe. See you guys.
Well, this is instructive, isn't it, my friend City Limits? The topic was, what does it take to get Pitt football on your radar? Like, when does this become a topic of great interest to people? You remember when Pitt basketball did? You know, in the Ben Howland years early on, it became the hottest ticket in town. Pitt football has had fits and starts, no pun intended, because Larry Fitzgerald was part of one of those surges in Pitt football. And there's always the debate over, man, wouldn't it be great to have an on-campus stadium? And it would. And they should have done that. There should be an on-campus stadium. And I know about all the logistics and all that. I'm just saying there should be one. And it's a shame that there's not. However, I also am always quick to point out that when Pitt football is really good and has captured our attention, whether it's through individual brilliance or what the team is doing, that people pack that place too. And they did for back-to-back games, back-to-back home games anyway. I think they were separated by at least one on the road in Fitzgerald's Heisman run of 2003 against Virginia Tech was one unforgettable game. And then Miami, when they kind of shut him down that night. Again, packed stadiums, great atmospheres. That's what you get when you put a product on the field, like a really, really good product that people want to watch. But it's instructive that we had exactly zero phone calls on the topic. So I'm thinking not quite on the radar yet, Limits. That's what I'm thinking here. And there have been other times in Pitt's recent history. But it takes a lot. It does. The Kenny Pickett year, it wasn't really a hot topic, football frenzy around here until the Clemson game. And then it was like, wow. This kid might win the Heisman, and Pitt, for the first time ever, might win an outright conference title. And I'm still thinking about our topic from yesterday, Wonder Twin, which was, I whittled it down to this, not the best Pitt player of this century. Did you know that this century officially began in 2001, so 2000 doesn't count?
That's weird to me. Then it technically ends at, it's like when you say on a scale of 1 to 10, it goes 1 to 10, and then 11 begins the next one, like, yeah. 11 to 20.
Yeah, I know. It's it's weird. It's a mind teaser, a brain teaser, I should say. So not necessarily the best Pitt player. We talked about this yesterday. You know who we didn't mention? Either in best season or best player? James Conner.
No, we did not. He like popped into my mind, but I don't think he's in the same realm as Aaron Donald and Larry Fitz and Shady. Like, if we're talking about just pure running back standpoint, Shady was better.
No, he is. I mean, he might not be in your mind as who's the better player, but as far as most accomplished and greatest Pitt players of this century, he in 2014 beat the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Jameis Winston, as ACC Player of the Year, and broke a bunch of Tony Dorsett's records by racking up 1,835 yards from scrimmage and 26 touchdowns. So that's on the radar. However, let's whittle this. Let's simply whittle this, not to the greatest players. And you mentioned McCoy, and I actually agree with you. Low key, hot take. I'm going to go with Shady McCoy as my number one Pitt player. People will laugh. You go ahead and laugh from this century, which began in 2001.
I'll let Ron laugh for me.
And I'll tell you why. I want you to think about this. This dude was on a mostly one-dimensional offense, right, Limits?
Yeah.
He played 25 games here. Two seasons, a mere 25 games. In those 25 games, he racked up 3,365 yards from scrimmage and 36 touchdowns. Think about that. I don't mean any offense to older quarterbacks who may or may not help us at the station here. But Pitt was a mostly one-dimensional offense. And this dude I want you all to stop and just ponder this for a moment before you either say your opinion or whatever's going through your mind. Shady McCoy played 25 games here. There's some years, and there will be now for sure, where teams play close to 20, if you include playoffs and everything else. In 25 games, he had 3,365 yards from scrimmage and 36 touchdowns. If he was a four-year player, he would have broken every Pitt record there is. And I think a guy named Dorsett played here. So anyway, low key, I think he's my best. No, he is. I'm not gonna beat around the Reggie Bush here. This is ridiculous. It's just an opinion. I think he was Pitt's best player. I do. You might think it's Larry Fitzgerald. You might think it's Aaron Donald. You might think it's James Conner. You might think it's Darrell Revis. You might think it's Kenny Pickett. But I want to whittle our topic to this, Wonder Twin. Who had the best season? And McCoy does not qualify for the top four there. Who had the best individual Pitt season of this century, which began with the 2001 season? May I give a little background to inform your choice?
You may.
I mean, there's not a ton of choice. There, I shouldn't say that. There's like 10 reasonable choices, but I think we all know what the top ones are. There's Larry Fitzgerald from 2003. 92 catches, 1,672 yards, 18 yards a catch, 22 touchdowns. He should have won the Heisman, and if he had, there might be less of a debate here. But it's more than the numbers for him in 2003. It's the highlight reel that we all carry in our heads if we're of a certain age. The dude was ridiculous. Aaron Donald, 2013. He won every trophy in the world except the Heisman. Bronco Nagurski, Chuck Bednarik, the Outland Trophy, the Rotary Lombardi Award, and I don't even know what that is. There wasn't a trophy case in America big enough to hold all his trophies.
I remember that, and it was always, like a lot of the conversations were, should the Steelers take Aaron Donald, but they have Cam Hayward. Could you imagine that defensive line?
Oh, my God. Yes. Then there was Kenny Pickett in 2021. It's actually hard to argue with this as the best season. He had a better year than Jason White did when White beat Fitzgerald for the Heisman. Pickett had 42 touchdowns, 7 picks, 4,319 yards, and took his team to the only outright conference title in Pitt history. They didn't play in a conference till 91. And he ended it with an iconic play in the ACC title game. And the other ones on my list are Connor. I just mentioned ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And also Connor in 2016. And I included this in my top four for a column I wrote for the Post-Gazette. 2016's more impressive. It was the year that Connor came back from cancer. He comes back from that with a weakened body for everything he had been through. And I remember his comeback game, the season opener. I went down to the tunnel, the player tunnel, and stood with Dr. Stanley Marks, the renowned Pittsburgh oncologist. and a bunch of Hillman Cancer Center workers who had worked with James Conner, helped James Conner, and how he had helped them. They all mentioned this guy had this indomitable and contagious spirit where other people who were suffering could look to him, and he was just a beacon of light while he was going through that. And he came back from that and had an unbelievable season with 20 touchdowns and 1,394 yards. And that included 189 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns in 43-42. So I go this. I go 4-1. Connor 2016, Pickett 2021, Donald 2013, Fitzgerald 2003. With apologies to everybody else, from Deion Lewis to Benacanda to Jordan Addison and Tyler Palko. They all had phenomenal seasons, and Shady McCoy. And defensive players I didn't mention. What are your top four? Top four individual Pitt seasons.
You made some good arguments.
Give me your top one.
I still have Larry Fitzgerald number one.
Okay,
He should have won the Heisman if it wasn't for a couple, I don't know if you want to call them bitter voters, bitter jurors, or if Ron would have just did the right thing.
You
and
just
voted
insulted
for Larry
Ron.
I did, yes.
What would Ron say to that? If
probably
he were
not
here?
Be happy, but I don't think Ron would be as mad as when Harry Callis insulted him very badly.
Feel free to play a Ron clip as we talk here of what he might say to you. One. He would be very angry. I'm with you on Fitzgerald. But, there's some topics that I will vehemently argue with people on. If somebody wants to pick Pickett's year, for example, how could I possibly argue?
No, it's in the top four. I think that's in the top four. Connor's, I think you'd probably go Pickett two, right behind Larry Fitzgerald. And the key point about that is both were in New York for the Heisman ceremony.
Yeah.
Substantial.
So you could make an argument that Donald should have been.
I would say, yeah.
I mean, Donald,
fourth, but he should have been there.
Here's the thing that separated Donald from Pickett, I guess, is that Donald probably had one of the greatest defensive seasons of anybody anywhere. Ever. There wasn't a more decorated, you couldn't be a more decorated defensive player unless you actually won the Heisman. Like Charles Woodson or somebody like that.
Why didn't Ron vote for Larry Fitz? Like, I'm not trying to insult Ron, but the choice that he made, I'm surprised by.
He went, his argument was that Jason White played for a better team, played better in the biggest games because he took points away from Fitzgerald for that game I mentioned against Miami when Pitt still had a chance to win the Big East, I think, and they pretty much shut him down. Of course, I think they had Ed Reed in their secondary and people like that, but that was always his argument, and he wrote a column not long before he retired, still defending that choice.
I applaud him for sticking by it.
And he obviously, since White won the Heisman, there were tons of people outside of Pittsburgh who agreed with Ron. I don't and never will, but there were tons of – it wasn't like he was a lone wolf here, like Mike Tomlin choosing the Lone Ranger, choosing Russell Wilson, right?
I don't get it.
Well, I just told you what the I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it.
Because it's supposed to go to the best player, not the MVP.
Might as well vote for Myles Garrett every single season over TJ Watt then.
He's not the best player. Go to the phones, please.
Let's go to Brad in Bridgeville, wants to talk about Pitt.
Hello, Brad in Bridgeville, Mr. Alliteration. How are you?
my last name fits too. Joe, great to talk to you. Austin, great to talk to you. I'm starting a little fun thing, I thought, if you guys don't mind, because I love the conversation about Pitt-Clemson. I'm a Pittsburgh guy, been all my life, and my daughter attends Clemson.
Mm.
So I've become a Clemson fan. So I want to start, I'm going to call the morning show, too. I want to start getting this thing fired up, because I think it could be one of the greatest games in Pitt history. At Akershire. I think back to, if you guys remember, Virginia Tech, Pitt, probably 15 years ago. It was a huge game.
Yeah, I just mentioned that one.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just starting it. And Clemson has really turned the corner. Cade Klubnik, I mean, he's in the...
Well, what's your overall point here?
My point is just let's get... I love the fact that you're starting the conversation about the Pitt-Clemson game. And I'm hoping Pitt and Clemson both go undefeated up into that game because it will be... It'll be a huge game, and when Clemson wins, it'll be tough, but it's going to be fun.
Oh, when Clemson wins. We appreciate the call. Clemson already lost a game, but I know what he means. They need to both go undefeated until that game. And then we have a very nationally prominent game, do we not? Clemson would be in the top five, Pitt maybe in the top 12.
And if you win that game, you're in the ACC championship. Basically guaranteed.
That is when I think you'd really see a fire lit under Pitt. You like that, Limits?
Yes, very
much
so.
One more call, please.
Let's go to Wade, who wants to talk about Pitt.
What's up?
Joe, thanks for taking my call. You guys have a wonderful show. You've been in my life for 3 years. I work from home.
Thanks, man.
You're a big part of my life every day.
So I appreciate
that. Go straight into Pitt, and how you get people excited. Well, you're in a pro town, so it's real hard to get the college flame lit, even if you're 6-0, looking to be 7-0. I feel like it's an acquired taste. And just a little background real quick. I graduated from a SEC school. And so when I came back to Pittsburgh, because I was born and raised here, I just love to see the Pitt fans come out. They're very passionate. There's about 35 to 40,000 diehards that are there absolutely every game. We don't miss games. We've had tickets forever. They were grandfathered into us from my wife's father, who was one of the original Golden Panthers from the other side of the state. So thank you for talking about Pitt today. It's been a great day. We're looking forward to tonight. And from that guy from Clemson, they stink. So thanks,
thank
Joe.
Thank you, sir. What do you think of this, Limits?
I think it's fascinating coming from the SEC, where I think my one experience watching SEC football was last year going to the Peach Bowl, and they dressed like they were going to a formal. And like, it's a different environment, different atmosphere down there. So hearing Wade's opinion of, you know, coming back to Pittsburgh, seeing football down there, seeing it here, and I mean, the Pitt people are very passionate. They want to see them win. It might not be the substantial numbers of other programs in terms of how the stadium's filled, unfortunately,
yeah.
But I don't think it should be poo-pooed and pointed down of how passionate they are.